Last week, Dave talked about prayer, so he opened the door. It was something I've been wanting to talk about anyway. So it's important for us to understand how important prayer really is in our lives, and why we do pray, and you know what it does, and how that works. But I think there's a couple things that he really said were just so important to think about. One of them is it's communication. And if we think about prayer as our form of communication with God, but we compare that to our circumstances, I can give you several different examples where how many of us have had a really, really good friend, but we simply just haven't talked to them in a while, right? Still good friends, nothing wrong, nothing happened, still my friend, but time is going by. Time's going by. Pretty soon, if you don't nurture that relationship, it fails, right? Yes or no? Or your friend gets upset with you, you guys end up, you know, spite, whatever. That's happened to me over the years many times where, in my mind, I just thought, yeah, it's a phenomenal friend, but right now I work 29 hours a day, right, with three kids. And you know what I mean? We're getting older. When we were younger, it was easier to maintain relationships. But the fact of the matter is, a lack of communication causes defects in relationships, whether that be your friend or your mom or your daughter or your brother or, you know, your best friend. If you don't put forth effort into that communication, it's going to begin to suffer. And that's just that whole thing about trying to walk in the faith. You know, it's the faith will see us through, but I can have all the faith in the world, but if I don't talk to God about it, you know, I mean, one of the verses says you didn't receive because you didn't ask. You know, so what if all this stuff I'm facing today could have been somewhat alleviated to some degree, or at least directed in some way, because I'm praying about it. Amen? Amen? Is anybody with me up here? Nobody? Anybody? I need you with me or I can pack it up. Prayer is a spiritual response to God that involves addressing and petitioning Him, but also contemplating and waiting for Him. And we look at all these steps inside this actual definition of prayer. A spiritual response to God that involves addressing and petitioning. So here we go. I got an issue in my life. It's an ongoing issue. I'm aware of this issue. I know I have to address it. Amen? I know that the majority of us for long periods of time like to think that we can put it in the backyard and eventually it'll go away. I know that most of the men, you know, if they're anything like me, we're stuff it down, 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 and then one day somebody does something that wouldn't even merit anything. Boom! Right? And also they cut me off and they got beat up. But they didn't get beat up because they cut me off. They got beat up because of the taxes, because of my paycheck, because of my girlfriend, because of, right? Because of the bills, because all this stuff gets sucked down in me and I push it down, keep it in. But it said that prayer involves addressing these issues. Amen? It's addressing the issues. So I have this frustration in my life. I have these circumstances in my life. I can't just ignore them. Amen? I think that many of us, I know I did, we could try to bury them with Jim Beam, bury them with flowers, however you want to make it go away. Amen? But you wake up the next morning and it's still there. So if that worked, it would have been great. I'd drink myself until I fall asleep. Problems are gone. But the problem is, wake up tomorrow, I got to deal with what I don't remember I did last night and everything that I didn't address. And that's the routine. That's the scenario. So we can't stuff it down. We can't forget about it. We can't mask it. We got to address it. That's the whole thing. Turn and fight. Amen? I will no longer be victim to my disease of alcoholism, of violence, of frustration, of drug addiction. I will no longer be victim to these things because I'm willing to turn and face it. Does that mean I have the answer? Maybe not. Maybe not right now. But I'm willing to try. Amen? Amen. I'm not going to allow it to continue to convict me and direct me and cause me to stuff it down and continue to fail. Because the anger of a man cannot achieve the righteousness of God. And this is a verse that lives in my mind every day because of how angry I was for such a long period of time. And I live with this, and so my regular mindset Fleshly mindset immediately goes to anger. But then the spiritual man goes, nope. The anger of a man cannot achieve the righteousness of God. So no matter how angry I get, no matter how much I stomp my fist, no matter how much I make you understand my point, no matter how much I kick and scream, at the end of the day, the anger of a man cannot achieve the righteousness of God. So there has to be a new scenario. So it says addressing and petitioning him, but also contemplating and waiting for him. We're only halfway through the definition of prayer. And you know, so I'm petitioning. So if I petition, then what it means is I'm going to bring to light this issue that I have to God. I'm going to go in the inner room and shut the door. And Dave said last week that this is uncomfortable. Well, it is to some degree, but not when you're alone. It shouldn't be. And I could care less what anybody else thinks, because I'm discussing issues of the eternal Creator. So the opinion of my peers are relevant. Amen? Yes or no? Right? If I'm addressing the things of God, there's not one person that can bring me away from that. God comes first. So I go in there and I pray and I petition, Lord, here's my issues. I don't expect you to take them away from me, but I do expect for you to give me the ability to be patient, the tools to figure out how to map this out, and the energy to carry it out to get past this. Amen. Help me face this. Jehovah Nissi, I'm your banner. What? The Lord goes before you. But you go too. Amen? Right? I don't get to pray, oh God, I dug this hole, I just want you to pick me up, put me out of it. That don't work. I got to pray for God to bring the rain and the mud to start building the land to dig me back out of this hole again. Amen? I put myself in it. And he said, and then waiting for him. This is also another issue for me. And I know 2017 microwave generation, gotta have it right now. I'm not gonna wait for nothing. I want it now, right? J.G. Whitworth sewed that up forever. Right? That's it. I want it right now. I ain't gonna wait for it. I ain't gonna let you think about it. I'm gonna go. But see, if I'm implementing my faith and I force this occurrence to happen, am I waiting for him? So here's how I wait for him. I do every single thing within my own power to make it right. And if it still ain't right, and I've done everything I can do in that situation, then I've petitioned him, I've handed to him, now it's my turn to wake up every day, and when the negative thought comes in, kick it out. I'm going to live this life, I'm going to walk this walk, I'm going to take these baby steps, I'm going to keep taking this direction that I got, and I'm going to allow God to work in that area of my life. Amen? Whether it be a rivalry, or an addiction, or a habit, or a boss, or a co-worker, or a daughter, or a wife, whatever it is. Amen? I'm going to do everything I can do according to Scripture to do the right thing, and then I'm going to stay consistent in that while He addresses that situation for me. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you two things. Well, I don't want to be too specific, but there was a time period of quite a while ago when I was praying for something and praying for something and praying for something and praying for something. I was young in my faith. It was a long, long time ago. I was praying for something and praying for something, and it did not come to fruition. And about probably 4 or 5 years ago, one day I was praying and I kind of started laughing while I said, God, thank you for not answering that prayer for me. Right? Right, that was a dead-end relationship. I just wouldn't let it go. I just believed that no matter what I did, I just wanted one more opportunity to make it right. And I believed all in my heart that with God in my life, I could have been the guy that I needed to be to make it work. And I just prayed, God, give me one more try to make this right. Give me one more try. And it didn't come. But there was a reason that didn't come. Amen? And boy, am I thankful for that reason today. So sometimes things that we get set up in our mind are things that we really want that may not benefit us. Sometimes they're things that we really want that we may need. Sometimes that the timing isn't correct. And that's why he says, wait for him. In 1 John 3, he says, Beloved, if your heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God that whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. That's a powerful verse. If our heart does not condemn us, stage one. When I'm praying and I'm thinking about something that I need, if my conscience is telling me you might not need that, I might need to step back and think, is that something I really need? Right? I know I've met thousands of people that tell me they pray every day to win the lottery, but I think that's very funny to me, you know what I mean? Because it's just so many more efficient things that we could be praying for. You know, but I figured out a long time ago that success is not financial. It's not. And I can assure you that I have definitely been successful in my lifetime according to financial standards, and it did not create contentment. Period. So if we ask, we receive, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. So that's the next question. If I'm married, if I come home every day, throw my socks and shoes, throw my keys over there, what the hell's for dinner? You know, kick something, kick the dog, and they come in, and you know what I mean? Is she gonna get up and make me dinner? I doubt it. Right? I'll probably get a black eye and be back here looking for leftover sandwiches. Right? But then I'd be got up like that all day long. I'm out here sinning, testing, falling victim to temptations, not even talking to Him. And then I come all the way back around like, oh God, please just get me out of this. I promise I'm going to change. I'll never forget one time in my life I was driving down the road with things I shouldn't have been driving down the road. And I knew in my heart right then and there that something was wrong. And I prayed and I said, God, oh God, please just this one time. Get me out of this. And I woke up the next day and I was like, you were tripping. What's the matter with you? Right back. Couldn't get it. You know? Who's to say what the scenario was? There was a 66,000 page discovery. Maybe that night was in that discovery. But at the end of the day, the prayer got answered and I didn't change. I woke up the next day, I was like, what's the matter with you? What is the matter? Shake that off. Man, you know what you're doing right now. You're searching for a life sentence. Check this out. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, this is the prayer of Jabez. This is really cool. He says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez because she bore him in pain. It says, now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand may be with me and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not bear pain to me. And God granted his request. And there's a breakdown on this. Number one, Jabez called on God, right? He took it within himself to come out and say, I need God in my life. He knew that God was what he needed, and he called out to him. A. Number two, he said, bless me indeed. So confessed that he wanted to be blessed. And during this time, when you talk about territories and borders, he's talking about growth. So is it a negative thing to ask God to grow you spiritually, to grow you financially? It's absolutely not. Jabez asked for it, but what did he say? He said he was more honorable than his brothers. He didn't say his brothers was not honorable. He just, what he's implying is here is a guy that's over here doing what he needs to do to move forward in his faith. Amen? Right? Does that make sense? So he's accepting guidance and direction from God. He's walking that walk. He's talking the talk. He's walking the walk. He's doing the thing. And then he goes back and he prays and he says, God bless me. Amen? Well, are we together right now or not? Amen. Just him? Anybody else with me right now? You with me? You understand what I'm saying? I need to know. It's important. Feet, I don't need your feet. I need your ears. Feet aren't going to help you right now. It said God granted his request. Why? Because he takes it seriously. He gets out there. He gets involved. He does the right thing. And then he says, God bless me. Help me. Grow me. And that's what I think about right now, because all of us are in such a tremendous need of growth right now. Yes or no? But righteous growth. Right? Righteous growth. That's the difference between then and now, and how I think about it and the way that it works. And I'm glad that it finally clicked with me, because there was always a period of time where I always thought that there was an angle. Period. I had an angle. And I knew that I had an angle, and I would succeed many, 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 many times. And it works. until you need to pay up for all of them shaved corners of integrity. And I, for one, have no more funding for paying for shaved corners of integrity. Who else does? John does. Amen? What do we say about John? He's got another 2-2-1. He had a great run. He did really well, but he fell victim to temptation, sucked him back in. Amen? It happened to me when I was younger. I remember this isn't the first trial and error for me, but it says that a righteous man falls 7 times. What? 7 times he gets up. That no matter who you are, where you are, if you're right with God right now and you're on track with God right now, this is your opportunity. Amen? We heard the testimony from Brother Holmes not too long ago talking about that 18, 19-year-old girl that was in church and the pastor's just reaching out to her. I will, Pastor. I'm going to be there. She died that weekend. You know, 19. I'm 40. I've lived twice that time frame already. Right? There's not an infinite time there for us to just think that we're going to get it ready. Eventually, we have to think about it. And Jabez did this. This is an Old Testament prayer. And he says, bless me indeed. And God granted his requests. There's dynamics in this prayer that we need to discuss. There's dynamics in prayer that we need to understand. We're going to talk about that. This is one of my favorite all-time prayers. This is God talking to us. He says, if, and I think we covered this not too long ago, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Number one, humble themselves. 1 Peter says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That's powerful, man. No matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been, he's saying, therefore, humble yourselves. How am I going to humble myself? How many times we got to say it? Go back in the room. Nobody's there. Shut the door. On my knees. God, I need you in my life. It's that easy. Amen. It's that easy. Nobody here can not do that. I know every one of us has the ability to go into our room and shut the door when we're by ourselves and pray and call out to God. That's what Jabez did. That's what God's saying to do. And he says, we'll humble and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. So here's the list of my wicked ways. If I'm aware of them, then I just need to be aware of them. Amen. I need to put them on Front Street. If it's an issue that I'm dealing with, remember what he said in the beginning? Involves addressing and petitioning him, but contemplating and waiting for him. God, here's my problem. What you got for me? Right? You say you're God. You say you're Almighty. You say you love me. You say you can help me. Here it is. I can't hide it from you. Said the Spirit searches and tests and knows the minds of the heart. The spirit of the mind of the man. You know, so the Lord is constantly aware of everything that we're doing, who we are, where we are. There's nothing I can keep in my pocket that he can't see. So I bring it to the table. He says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time. Here we go with time again, being patient, casting all your anxiety on him. Why? Simply, because he cares for you. And humility is freedom from pride. Freedom from pride. Who suffers from pride in this room? Show of hands. Who suffers from pride in the room? Show of hands. Somebody didn't raise their hand and they're suffering from pride. Because it's a human issue, right? It's just a natural human issue. Who did you talk to? You talking to me? I don't see nobody else around. You're talking to me right now. You don't talk to me like that. You know what I mean? Next thing you know, smacking somebody. Eating peanut butter and noodle cups. Humility is freedom from pride. And God humbles people to bring them to obedience. Deuteronomy. And in this verse, it's a condition of God's favor and his supreme requirement. See, Matthew 5:3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs are the kingdom of heaven. So that the cornerstone of the character is humility, is just accepting the fact that I can be responsible of saying, God, I missed the mark. You know, that's it. That's it. Really? Right? I have weaknesses. I struggle with anger, anxiety, frustration, patience, addiction. What is it? Here it is, God. You know, I'm going to make aware of it. And I'm just going to put it out there. And he said, number two, turn from your wicked ways. We talked about repentance just a few weeks ago. And repentance being just the simple fact of understanding the severity of the sin. That sin is simply separation from God, and that I don't want to be separated from God because God is my nurturer, you know? But I've got to get this sin out of my life. If there's sin and frustration and distraction in my life where I cannot even focus on the Word when the Word's being shared, when I'm looking at the Word, I've got to think that there's something else going on with me. Amen? Right? Wouldn't I want to be on the radar? What if I'm so fooled right now that I can't even listen in environments conducive to spirituality? Is there something wrong with me right now? Yes or no? I would think that there is, because it clearly states that the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so they may not see the light of the glory of God, which is Jesus Christ. So the devil comes in, he sells me all these veils that I put on so I can't see it, I can't get it, I don't have time for it. I think I'm multitasking, but I'm not paying attention in church. You know what I'm saying? Why do I even go then? Amen? If I can't even think about spirituality, then I definitely got an issue. And he says, turn from these wicked ways. Let these things be known and cut them out. See, Psalm David said, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And that's just this whole thing. I remember arguing, not quite arguing, more so discreetly disagreeing with my wife one time where she said, oh yeah, I prayed twice, and guess what? Nothing happened. I was like, well, we got to really look at what prayer is and how it works. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? If I go out and get a brand new Bentley right now, but there ain't no gas in it, and I run out and turn the keys, yeah, I got a Bentley, but it don't run. You know what I mean? How does prayer work? How does prayer work? How does prayer work for me? Why is there a prayer? And how come there's people out there that don't understand how it works or why it works? Amen? The knowledge is here. It's not hidden. It's right here. We just look at it and it tells me, this is what it says. Okay, I get it now. But the thing is, I've heard enough from society to form what I think about that word. I've heard enough from society to think what I think about prayer. So I've heard enough of it. Amen? So I've justified my decision in that this isn't for me. I know what's better. When in reality, it's just another veil. It's just another veil. And I'm crying out for help. But David said, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. So if I'm praying today, but I'm still going out and doing the same old things that I do all the time, then I could just might as well assume that I put my prayer on the table, and the minute I got done praying, I picked it up and took it away. Right? Right? And the other half of us are praying so bad, they just say, God, just take this from me. Take it. Take it, Donnie. Take it. Take it. But we won't let go. Amen? Amen? Take it, God. Just take it from me. Take it from me. Take it from me. You know, just can't let it go. Wake up, go to bed every 17 minutes. Got to do something about that. Right? How can I cast it on him if I don't let go of it? Wickedness basically is sin and transgression of the law, disobedience, rebellion, wrongdoing. But it's persuasive condition of the heart. It's an outworking of our thoughts, words, deeds that offend God and ultimately cause separation from us to Him. And when you think about this and how it plays out in our lives, it really messes us up. It's talking about transgression being disobedience, rebellion, and wrongdoing. But check this part of it out. It's persuasive condition of the heart. A persuasive condition of the heart. Why? Because if I can't see reality, if I don't take it seriously, if I don't really look at it, then I'm setting myself up. Because number one, the worst enemy I ever had is standing right here. Amen. Yes or no? I've never had a rival worse than me. Yes or no? And so if I'm not honest about what I'm doing and the way I think, what I'm getting into and all these things, then I'm painting that picture perfect to myself, not you. What does it matter what you think if I'm setting my own self up for failure? Amen? It becomes a persuasive condition of the heart. And here's the deal. I don't need any more heart conditions. I'm an overweight 40-year-old diabetic. Another heart condition may leave you guys in silence here. He says, so when you spread your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen because your hands are covered with blood. That's a powerful thing to think about. But in the same verse, God comes back and says, wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the ruthless. Defend the orphan and plead for the widow. So in the same sentence that he's telling me just to get right, he tells me to stick up for others, to love others. And that's just this whole funny thing that we keep learning about God. At the heart of God is simply love. All of these things that we hide from, all of these changes that we're afraid to make, all of these things that we think we're going to lose is the veil of confusion, in that God creates clarity. God creates restoration. God creates peace. God gives us joy. You see what I'm saying? So all these things that we fight for so hard in the world that deplete us, and we can't give it up because we just can't let go of it. But all the side effects of God is everything we're chasing after anyway. Amen? That's a trip. Mark, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray for, ask and believe that you will receive them, and they will be granted to you. For whenever you're standing praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, that your Father is who heaven also... Wait a minute. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. So basically, unforgiveness disables prayer. When I put all that together and I think about it, and I think that there's people in my life that I can't forgive. There's situations that happened to me when I was young and growing up that I haven't let go. There's people in my life that I think to myself, if I ever see you again, all that's got to go away. Man, all that's got to go. I don't care if it's a parent, girlfriend, wife, husband, daughter, son. I don't care how bad they hurt you. God said, if you don't forgive them, I will not forgive you. That's a reciprocal requirement. It's part of the deal. But see, the way I think about that is, if I've lived my life, and just to be honest, I've made probably, let's say I probably hurt God 658,351 times, right? Hurt myself every single one of them times as well. And then I'm mad at somebody because they did something to me once. Right? Right? I'd have messed everybody up, broke everybody's heart, was unaccountable for 30 years. And I can't forgive this one person that was rough on me during this small time frame. That don't make sense. Who's holding the torch? And at the end of the day, they don't care. How many times have you heard that? Right? You holding this torch all day long because you're burning. You're going to catch this person someday. They're off living their life in Tahiti with, you know, umbrella drinks. And you're hurting today, beating the kids up. Amen? It don't make sense. Matthew 6 says, when you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and the street corners that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you that they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, pray to the Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you openly. Woo! Come on. Amen? Amen? Who wants to sign up for some rewards right now? Right? I've had enough of this world of frustration. I'm due for some rewards. I could go for rewards. I'd like to see what a change of pace that would be. But he says, what he sees you do in secret, he will reward you openly. That's powerful. Another one is, I like what he says that they have their reward. You know, you draw attention to yourself for prayer. You draw attention to yourself for good works. You draw attention to yourself for God. That's your reward. But the rest of us who do it genuinely out of our heart will continue to be blessed. In Acts, he says, pray and fast. 1 Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing. James 5:6 says, pray for one another. Jude 20 says, pray in the Spirit. Philippians, they're offering up prayer with joy. 4:6, everything prayer, by giving thanks in the name of Jesus. Proverbs, the Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous. Acts 14, we devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And I'm going to take just a couple minutes and teach you guys. Now, I don't got no papers or anything, but I want you to remember this. You know the book of Acts, right? The book of Acts right after the Gospels. That's my acronym. It's A-C-T-S. You say, give me a format to pray in. What's a format that I can get used to praying in? I'm uncomfortable with prayer. I don't pray often. It's going to be my first time. What would you recommend? A, I recommend speaking from the heart and being dead honest. There's nothing God doesn't know that you know. Right? Amen. Number one, be yourself. Be honest. But here we go. Adoration is awe of God. We worship God because God is God. He is the eternal, the greater, the Elohim. Amen. Elohim, eternal creator, no higher. That's why I pray to God. Number two is C, Acts, confession. Lord, today I ran an old lady off the road. you know, I don't know. I'm a bad driver. I mean, a lot of my stuff when I think about it, I was thinking, like, I'm already 3, 4, 5 miles down and I'm thinking, oh, I shouldn't have done that. You know, kind of weighs on me. But like, I know there's a lot more serious things going on. There could have been a day when I said, Lord, I created 9 federal felonies. You know, I mean, there's a lot more serious offenses that we can pray about, but it's confession. It's coming clean. Right? In the beginning of it all we said was involves addressing and petitioning, bringing to light the negativity. Lord, here's the negativity that I've created. Here are the things that I've done. I'm handing them to you. Confession. Number three, thanksgiving. What am I grateful for? And this is funny because no matter who you are, where you are, where you've been, every single person is grateful for something. I don't know. Nobody I've talked to people who can't even really carry on full sentences or really carry a full conversation, but you get the idea out of them. You know, I was talking to a guy that lives, that's permanently wheelchair bound. And he's like, oh, it's just such a beautiful day today. And I was thinking to myself, it is a beautiful day today. And I'm such a jerk for being so ungrateful, right? Because both of my feet are here. Amen. Who wheeled themselves in today? Who fed themselves today? Amen. Who didn't have to have somebody else smash mixed applesauce in their mouth? Right? We're alive. There's a reason to be thankful. The problem is I can't really see it because I get so caught up with what everybody else is doing and what they got. It's that whole chasing after everybody else that makes me unthankful and ungrateful. But at the end of the day, if I got a place to sleep, if I got something to eat, and I got somebody that loves me, which I know God does, I should be straight. Amen. That's what Paul said. So that's thanksgiving. Supplication. What do you need? Supplication. Earnest request to God. A need, not a want. Luke 22 says, not by my will, but by your will. He says, teach me your ways. And this is one of my favorite prayers. I'm closing with this. Then I'll give you an introduction to next week. But this is King of Gur. And he goes, check this out. I always picture this as like the end of a movie with the clouds or something that's coming down. You know, that one voice narrates in the background. Like, this is the perfect verse for that. He goes, two things I asked of you. Do not refuse me before I die. and keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is of my portion, that I may not be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? And that I not be in want and steal and profane the name of God. And what he said is, he said, just give me what is for me. Don't give me so much that I can't remember you anymore, because I know we remember getting there too. Amen. Right? I've been in a place in my life where I got so successful I set God down. And then I've been in a place in my life where I was so unsuccessful I couldn't pick God up. Amen? And that's what he said. He said, don't give me too much, I'll forget you. Don't give me too little, lest I have to be forced to feel to, you know, do something I shouldn't do. He said, keep negativity and lies far from me. So a reminder that provision is an obligation when I'm in position. But we're not going to cover that yet. Next week we're going to talk about intercession, which gets pretty deep. It's also another form of prayer. But I just want to go over this one more time for you guys. The book of Acts. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Amen?
Amen.
All right, that's enough for today. Let's go to small group.